I mean, we rented a house.
We rented a house,
and we lived there.
And he had a job.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And
in
then...
In Boston, after yes. I was in Boston for about 4 years, myself and my brother, seeing the condition of Jewish education in Boston, we decided to open classes for Jewish children.
Oh, did you?
So we opened a school free.
Oh, you mean you didn't pay? Yeah, the students that came did not pay.
The first free school in the United States.
Oh, how absolutely fascinating.
And not only free school, the first Hebrew school.
Really?
Everything in Hebrew.
That is
recorded.
Most interesting. But you told me that when you came to the United, when you arrived in Boston, you had to learn English to live. So you first went to elementary school. How long did you stay there?
1 week.
You stayed there 1 week. And what happened? And the principal said what to you?
And the principal said, you are old enough.
You were 17, you know, of course, right?
And you know enough English to go to high school.
So you...
And gave me a letter to the principal of Boston English High.
And that was how far away from where you lived?
That was about 3 miles.
3 miles. So how did you go those 3 miles back where you walked that whole way? And did your mother make sandwiches for you?
No.
What did you? You just walked. How long a day did you spend?
Well, we started at 8:30. And came back 4 o'clock.
I see. And then did you help? What did you do after when you came home at 4? Did you have homework?
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of
homework.
Fact
of the matter is, in those days, it used to have drillings. In high school, with guns.
With guns?
Yeah.
Really? Why?
And, well, they wanted to train the young how to manage with a gun.
Is that right?
They gave me a gun, too.
And you had left Russia to get away from the guns.
Now, the funniest part was that I didn't know how to hold a gun.
Oh.
And I didn't know how to put it on my shoulder. So when I did put it on my shoulder, I hit somebody with it.
You hit someone with it. Didn't go off.
No,
you just bumped them.
Yeah.
But
from that day on, I didn't use any more guns.
I see. They decided they didn't want any more of you with the gun. But how many years, you were there for how many years in the high school?
3 years.
And then what year did you leave the high school? What grade were you?
I left highest grade. I
mean, highest
took
grade.
Up mathematics.
Yes, but you didn't graduate, right?
I was a special
and
student.
And then you were a special student. Then did you continue your studying in Hebrew or your studying of the Tanakh?
I always by yourself afterwards. Yeah.
Or did you meet with a group who discussed this? You didn't meet at all. You didn't. Did you belong to a synagogue, for example?
No.
You didn't belong to a synagogue then.
But then we opened our school and we attracted some people to it.
I mean, people
wanted to give money to run it, and they did.
And how old were you at that time when you started out?
I must have been 20.
I see. Why did you start it? What motivation did you have to begin a school like this?
Well, there was no Jewish education. Mm-hmm. It's time to start. And that's what we did.
And what did you teach? What were the subjects that you...
Hebrew.
Hebrew.
The language.
And the language.
Yeah.
And the Tanakh.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we kept it up for several years, and then when I was about to leave, see, in 1906 I left Boston, I went to the seminar.
So what seminar was this?
Jewish Theological Seminar.
In Cincinnati?
No, it was New York.
In New York.
So we engaged a teacher, and we had enough money to pay for it.
That is absolutely
And the
amazing.
School exists, it's still in existence,
Oh my.
And Horowitz, who was later on the educational director of Boston, Jewish educational director, has it in his book, The Whole History.
Is that right?
Yeah, he published 3 books.
Oh, okay.
So one of the books, he mentions that I organized the first Hebrew school. And not only did I organize, but I still am on the job.
This is true. How did you happen to then go to Jewish Theological Seminary?
Well, I left for New York
What motivated you to go to New York, for example?
Well,
why would you
like go to this college and seminar?
You wanted more education? Why would you do this? Mm-hmm. You wanted more education.
Uh-huh. And they accepted me when I came, and I saw Schechter. Mm-hmm. I was very much disappointed.
Were you?
Yeah. And then when I saw some of the teachers, I was more disappointed.
Why? Why were you disappointed?
Well, I mean, the only good teachers they had that time was Friedlander, uh-huh. Dr. Friedlander. Uh-huh. And
how about Marx? Was he a good
teacher?
Did you have
not
him?
A good
he was not a good teacher.
He was a librarian.
Yes. Yeah.
And it meant there was somebody else there who was good.
Uh-huh.
He was killed in Russia. I'm just trying to recollect his name. I mean, those were the only good teachers.
Yes. Did you leave your brothers with the school that you started, the Jewish day school that you started in Boston?
Well, he remained there for a while. Then
was it an after-school school, or was it was
afternoon.
It afternoon school?
Afternoon.
Uh-huh.
Now, when I went to the seminary the first day, I mean, they were teaching Yoredea. That means how to manage things, and the teacher didn't know how to read his notes. So I stayed there a whole month, and I dropped out. With no sense, I mean, I was studious. I wasn't there to waste time.
Yes.
And I entered the City College. I stayed there 3 years.
The city of New York, you know.
Yeah.
But how could you get in if you didn't have a high school diploma? They let you in.
Well, they examined me.
I see.
I mean, I knew the subject.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then I got a position as a principal in a school in Borough Park.
Borough Park?
Yeah.
Where's Borough Park?
It's New York, part of New York.
I see.
So each day I had to travel from Borough Park to City College. That's good. In the subway.
Uh-huh.
But like that you cannot help.
Yeah.
And later on I got a telegram from Boston. Mm-hmm. Father passed away.
I see. Because you had left your father, your mother, and your sisters and your brother all living in Boston.
Uh-huh. So when that happened, I had to take hold of the family.
Oh, the whole family came to live with you in New York.
Well, not only that, but they moved from there to Chicago.
Oh, you left New York at that time.
Yeah, I left New York. I got a position in Chicago as a principal of the school.
I see.
I was never a teacher in my life.
Really?
They took me as a principal. And I ran a good school.
Isn't that fascinating? What part of Chicago?
Northwest Side.
That's where the heavy Jewish population
that time,
located,
that the heavy Jewish population was in the east side. But this was a new section.
I see.
Northwest Side and...
Was yours one of the first Jewish days? It was a Jewish day school or an after school?
Afternoon.
An afternoon school, similar to the Hebrew Institute.
Uh-huh. And I did a good job there.
Uh-huh.
And there I had one of my pupils, who is now the owner of the, what do you call it, the tower in New York.
The tower?
Yeah, the biggest building in New York. Crown.
The what?
Crown is his name.
Crown. I see.
He's the owner of the biggest building in New York.
And have you visited him in the biggest building? Does he remember? He remembers you, doesn't he?
Well, he was one of the pupils who became Bar Mitzvah.
I see.
Uh-huh. And when we were ready to build the building, I decided I'll go up to see him.
Building? You mean this building?
No.
What
building? Building downstairs.
Yeah, the new building.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I went up to see him.
Because he was very wealthy in New York City, right?
Yeah, and he was a good student. When I came in to see him, he says, "What brings you here?"
Uh-huh.
I said, "I'm going to put up a building, and you are in the material business. I would like to get a material for the building from you." He says, "I'll gladly give it to you. But it'll cost you more to transport it than it's worth." Then he took out, he pulled out the drawer. He says, "This little Bible you gave me when I was bar mitzvah."
Really? He had that with him?
Yeah.
Oh, fascinating.
Then he said to me, "What can I do for you?" Well, I said, "What I want from you now is to give us a room in your name." He said, "I didn't do enough for Chicago. Why should I do it for Pittsburgh?" I told him that men like him don't belong to one city. They belong to the entire world.
Yes.
He says, "Put me down $10,000 for a room." That's why I got a room for me. Mother's picture up there.
Has he visited?
Yeah.
Did he visit?
Henry Klein.
I see.
And, I stayed in Chicago 4 years. Then I got an invitation from Baltimore to come and be the principal of the Baltimore Hebrew School, which I accepted.
I
stayed there 6 years. I built up a big school system. Came with the school had about 150 children, and I left there 1,500.
Fantastic.
Well, it was quite a job.
Goodness.
But the interesting part was this, that I learned something, which I use it here.
What did you learn?
It was a four-story building. And one day, a kid went up to the top and bent over.
And fell.
Fell right down. But as luck happened, he wasn't hurt. But since then, you notice in our steps?
Yes, yes.
You cannot bend over.
Yes. I wondered about that.
Yeah.
That's the explanation.
Second thing says they had a big auditorium. And we were celebrating Hanukkah. The auditorium was packed with children because it was a big school.
Yes.
And at that time they told me that I could use a stereoptic machine with some machinery that I could throw it on the screen. And they told me to put it in a wooden box lined with asbestos. Well, I was on the stage talking, explaining about Hanukkah, and I noticed on the side the box got fire. And the place was crowded with children. So I told the cantor to keep on singing, not to stop.
Yes.
I went over there, it was right near the window. I picked it up and threw it out. Oh,
you used such insight move at that time. You think of the catastrophe that might have taken place.
Well,
it was really quick thinking on your part. Let me bring you back to the first, when you first reached Pittsburgh. You remember, I was going to ask you this, your first day in the United States. You had told me that when you first arrived here, there was nothing special about it. You were looking forward, and you felt it. There was nothing about it that you anticipated.
Well, the only thing is, a little later, see, I went to visit the schools in Boston. I was greatly disappointed. There was nothing there.
Yes. Then, when you were in Baltimore and you came to Pittsburgh from Baltimore.
I was invited.
You were invited to Pittsburgh. Do you remember your first day in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
What was it like? Tell me your impression.
I came here on a Friday. And I was met by Mr. Rosenblum. Mr. Rosenblum was the president. Not Charlie, but his father.
Yes.
He didn't meet me in the house. He says, "Let's meet in the park." See, he used to live at the Shenley Hotel. He said, "Let's meet in the park."
Yes.
And I met him in the Shenley Park. He sat down on a bench and we were talking. He was reciting to me part of the Guide of Perplexed. mm. by Maimonides
mm-hmm.
in Hebrew.
Mm.
He was a scholar.
Mm.
And I interpret certain things to him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wasn't an ignoramus
yes.
at the time either.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So after I got through, he says, "You're our man."
Uh-huh.
He says, "If you make the same impression on me as you
yes.
made, and Mr. Uh-huh. Aaron as you made on
yes.
me, then you're..."
That was a very interesting way of interviewing you. He didn't
yeah.
ask you any questions about yourself.
No, they
he
knew
just
something.
Asked for an interpretation.
Yeah, they knew something
very
about
interesting. He could tell that you were very well versed
yeah.
In
and the next
yes,
day
philosophy.
I met Mr.
Uh-huh.
Aaron,
uh-huh.
Louis I. Aaron,
uh-huh.
his pictures in the office.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And after talking to him,
mm-hmm.
he said the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "You're
so
our
you were,
man."
You were
so
decided. Uh-huh.
I was engaged
uh-huh.
for the same salary that I
uh-huh.
used to get in Pittsburgh,
in
Baltimore.
Baltimore. Uh-huh.
But a year later, when, oh wait, didn't
mm-hmm.
tell you the whole story.
Yeah.
Well, we opened the school November 7th,
uh-huh.
1916.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first of all, when I came, the school wasn't finished yet.
I see.
They didn't have the money to finish it.
I
see. So they stopped building.
Did they have any day, any afternoon school? Or,
nothing,
they did have something
nothing.
With the synagogue.
There was
didn't
nothing.
They?
There was nothing.
Nothing
no.
at all.
The only
in
thing
Pittsburgh.
That was there
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
was the Tree of Life.
I see.
Tree of Life and the Tomator. There was a Tomator on Harvard Street, a small
uh-huh.
place.
Uh-huh.
And that building was, they stopped building it. Well, I didn't like the idea to come to a building that I cannot open.
Yes.
At that time, there was, I don't know whether you remember, there was a store known as the Frank and Cedar store.
Yes, I do remember. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cedar I knew well.
I see.
In fact, as I knew his whole family from
me
Europe.
From Baltimore.
From
no,
Europe.
From Europe.
Yeah.
Oh. He was from...
he was from Meritz.
From
a small city.
I see, near Vilna.
Yeah.
I see.
Well, he was a member
uh-huh.
of the board.
I see. Uh-huh.
I went out to see
uh-huh.
him.
Yes.
I said, "The building is not finished, but the principal is here."
Ah.
What is going to do? He said, "I want you to arrange a dinner with him."
Uh-huh.
And I want to talk at that dinner.
Uh-huh.
Arrange a dinner of all the directors of the institute. He says, "What do you intend to do?"
Uh-huh.
He said, "There is already a mortgage on the building, $25,000.
Uh-huh.
I want to sell second mortgage bonds.
Uh-huh.
And we'll pay 4%.
Uh-huh.
He says, "I am with you and I'm buying the first 5,000.
Uh-huh. Really? That was a clever idea to do this.
Well, he had a dinner. There were
uh-huh.
17
How did
people.
You get this idea?
Well, I had to
yeah.
see
uh-huh.
that the building
uh-huh.
was finished.
Yes, uh-huh. But the idea...
Well, I wasn't in Ignoramus
yes,
finances.
Yes, you were always interested in finances.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
So when they came together, I spoke to
mm-hmm.
them and I told them what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Here are second mortgage
mm-hmm.
notes.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy 1,000 or you can
mm-hmm.
buy more.
Yes.
And we'll pay you 4%.
Uh-huh.
I sold $17,000 bonds. But the interesting part is this. During the year, so the school was so successful
yes.
that everybody turned in their bonds.
Really?
They didn't even collect
yes.
the 4% besides one.
Uh-huh.
One told me that next year he'll give me his bond.
Yes.
But next year never came for him.
I see.
That's the way.
Oh.
Well, anyway, that was the beginning of the
uh-huh.
Hebrew Institute.
Uh-huh.
And when we opened the school,
uh-huh.
1,300 children registered.
Oh, my.
And
oh.
we had room only for 700.
Imagine starting with 1,300.
There was nothing. There was nothing
imagine.
There.
Imagine.
There
must have been such
before.
A thirst, such a desire.
Yeah.
That is amazing, huh?
I called together the directors, and I told them I cannot handle 1,300 children in this building.
How would you get all the staff?
There was no room.
Yes,
So I told them I figured out I can handle 743 children. And I said, I'm going to pick them. And I told him, I'm not going to take any advanced students. I'm going to start with all beginners. And during the year, school made progress because they were all beginners.
Yes. You could be assured that they would make progress.
Well, I knew that. Four years later, we opened our high school. 6 years later, we opened our teacher's training school, right in the building. And then the school was crowded, and they wanted to build another floor. And I told them, before you build another floor, I want to find out the condition of the neighborhood. And I'll report to you in a week's time. And one day, I went out and stood on the corner, on a Wiley and Green for a whole day. I marked down the people who passed me by, and I found 50% white and 50% color. So I told him, you'll have to wait another year until I make another survey like that. Next year I did the same thing, and I found this time 60% color and 40% light. I told them we're not building here. Then I started the innkeeper census. See, I wanted to know the number of children in the neighborhood, the number of children who are absent on innkeeper, Jewish children. I went up to the Board of Education. Marcus Aaron was at that time the president, but he didn't want to give it to me.
Didn't he? Although he was on the board of the Hebrew Institute.
No, he was not on the board of deans. He was the son of the man who gave me the first money.
I see. But had he gone to the Hebrew Institute?
No.
No, he hadn't. I see.
No, but the director of of education said, I'll see that you get it. And for 24 years, I got each year the names and addresses. One year I got the Dillinger children.
The what?
Dillinger. Two names from one of the schools.
I see.
So I went up to the school and I said, why did you give me Dillinger children as Jewish? So the teacher said, the father is not Jewish, but the mother is. That's why you have them. They go after the mother. Which is correct.
That's right.
And I have a record of all the... So the first year that I took a census, there were 4,900 Jewish children in the Hildesh district. Second year, there were only 4,600. The third year, it dropped to 4,000. Years later, it dropped to nothing. That's when...
You see, you're really a social scientist. This is... You're a social scientist. You evaluated what was happening to a neighborhood.
I know. See, here's the thing. The Iron Kaufman at that time was going to build.
Yes, yes.
And I had already my figures. I knew the neighborhood was dropping at a rate of 500 families a year.
See?
And I appeared before them. And I showed them the figures, but they decided to build anyway.
There at the
at
that Kaufman, district.
And they built.
I see.
And they were there only 6 years. Now it's in ruins.
Yes. Did it burn? Was that one of the buildings that burned recently?
No, it was just broken up before.
Was it broken up? Nothing's being used in that building, or is there? So then,
The next thing is, see, when I opened the school with 743 children, I opened the kindergarten. That was the first kindergarten in the United States. When I opened the kindergarten, and also a
Well, weren't the children going to regular kindergarten in the public school?
There were no kindergartens yet.
I see.
I opened a kindergarten, and I opened, not an all-day school, but I opened it up to the second grade. See, we had a right to teach secular education up to the third grade.
I see.
So I opened that classes too. Mm-hmm. At that time, Sidney Teller came to our government center. Mm-hmm. And when he heard about it, he called together 71 people. Among the 71 was Aaron, the one that I got the money for the building. Mm-hmm. He gave me $25,000. Mm-hmm. So they all agreed not to support the institute.
Not to support it?
Yeah, because it's a parochial school.
Oh,
they were against it.
I see.
The next day, Aaron came in to see me.
Really?
He said, instead of running the school next year, you'll have to do something else.
You mean Teller had such a dynamic personality?
71
that
people.
That he could convince those against
71 people
a
together,
day school?
Together with a rabbi of William Shawn Temple.
Why
that
wouldn't
time,
the rabbi want a full-day school?
No, they didn't want it.
Just
Rabbi Levy was at that time the rabbi.
Was he a reform rabbi?
Reform rabbi. That's the word of
Shalom.
So when Aaron came in and told me the story, I said, I suddenly have a job on my hands. It took me an entire year to visit these 70 people. The first one I visited was I.W. Frank. You don't think he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big man in Pittsburgh, a very wealthy man.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down with him. Mm-hmm. He gave me 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I was through with him, he says, put me down for $500 a year.
For an all-day Jewish school?
Not all day.
No, not afternoon. For the afternoon.
Yeah.
But you had started an all-day for the second grade.
Just the two grade.
Yes, uh-huh.
Then the last man that I saw was Falk.
Oh, yes.
William Falk, yes. Jr., not this, not the one who is now.
No, the father. The father, yes.
Mm-hmm. I came
back. Because Falk, Sr.
No, right?
He called himself Junior.
Junior,
uh-huh.
Yeah. He used to live on Woodland Road.
Yes. Did he?
I came there at 10 o'clock in the evening, and I left 4 in the morning.
Really? Uh-huh.
And before I left, he says, why don't you come and run our school?
No.
The Word of Shalom.
The Word of Shalom.
I said, I'm not interested in Sunday school. I'm interested in intensive Jewish education.
Yes.
He says, put me down for $500.
Goodness.
I turned all the 70 people who were there. The only one that I couldn't turn is the one who passed away, and that was Rabbi Levy.
I see.
He passed away during the year.
I see.
But all the others became friends of the Institute.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we started
out. Well, Rosenblum was a friend of the Institute from the beginning,
wasn't he?
I mean, there wasn't any question.
Yeah.
So that they were questioning whether you should continue an after-day school. Is this right?
No.
This was their criticism that they wanted to
stop
that?
No, they wanted to stop that school at the kindergarten, also the... But we didn't stop it.
Yes. But did they want to stop your after-day school? They wanted you to stop the kindergarten and the second grade, but did they want to stop the after-day?
No, nobody didn't want to support it.
No one wanted to support it. But then it continued. Did you continue with a kindergarten?
The kindergarten.
And
the others dropped out.
And the others dropped out.
You see, the question was, the younger child couldn't go to school by himself. We didn't have transportation yet.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to have an older brother, older
take
sister
them.
Take
yes.
them.
Yes.
So they couldn't bring him to the Institute. So that's where
I
we
see.
Ran into trouble.
I see.
So after running it for 4 years, we had to drop it. But the kindergarten, we did continue.
Yes.
And that was 1916. In 1920, we bought the first car. I didn't buy the first car. That's interesting. I was going to buy buses.
Yes. I want to be sure that this is catching. Just a minute. Yes, you're going to buy buses.
But before I was going to buy them, I wanted to know the mechanism of a car. Because I knew it was expensive. If it breaks down, it would be expensive to fix it.
Yes.
So I had a friend who had a big garage on Liberty Avenue. I went in to see him. He says, what do you want to do? I said, I want to take the car apart and I want to put it together again.
See, I think it's already finished. All right.
You don't remember the Vinton
car? No.
It used to be a Vinton and Packard. Big car. 16-cylinder car.